Hope everyone received an outline that would like one. This is a lesson number 4 in going through the book of Philippians on Sunday evening. Lesson 1 just dealt with ingredients of fellowship. At least I looked at the opening verses of chapter 1. Some of those necessary things that would provide for good fellowship among us. Then the next lesson was the things that happened to Paul. He said it turned out to be a blessing. We looked at some benefits that Paul listed. Last week was the phrase stand fast from verse 27 of chapter 1. And tonight we pick up the letter in chapter 2, verses just 1 through 4. Here's how it reads. I'm using the New King James, the Bible you have in your pew, if you want to follow along. You just listen as I read. So verse 1 says, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by, how can Paul receive some joy? By, and then the list, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, two things, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Wow. But just by way of introduction, I just want to note that attitudes are important because they're the foundation upon which our actions are built. And Paul, so far in chapters 1 and these opening verses, to me, has given attention to attitudes. The way that we think. And the way that we think will determine our actions, and that's what Solomon said. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Wow. And Paul had already admonished the brethren, stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together. So it's a lesson that kind of cycles itself or repeats it, or he's piling up the evidence or the testimony or the admonition or the goals that he would like for us to have or to exhibit. So he encourages us to form habits that I put in your notes would promote harmony. They put 3 major sections in your notes. Number 1, key on these 4 ifs. And I put they provide reasons or motivations for unity. Of course, verse 1 begins with that word therefore. And my favorite expression is, anytime you see that word therefore, stop and think what it's there for. Because it's going to be built on some things that he's already said. Based upon all what's already been presented, therefore, take note. So then he says, therefore, if. So I wanted to stop there. The word, and I put in your notes for clarification, the word is not used to create doubt. But rather, this particular Greek construction is one that assumes the statement that's being made is true. It's a declarative sentence. Its meaning means without a doubt, there is. So when we read that word if, to say there is consolation in Christ. There is. In all of these 4 ifs that he presents in that first opening verse. So he's not trying to get people to waver in their faith. I wonder. No. It's like, boy, if there's a better day than today to go fishing, what you're saying, you're not creating. Now, this is a good day to go fishing, if that's what the phrase was. So the first one is, if there's any consolation in Christ. And I say, yes, there is. There is consolation. Meaning to draw, the word console, to draw alongside of one. To provide comfort or relief when you're in distress. Your comfort, consolation in Christ when we're going through troublesome times. Means to hearten or lift the spirits up. And then it's in Christ. Paul's in prison. You might say, why should I be happy? Look what I'm going through. And look how much brethren are worrying about me. All the care and concern going both directions. I wonder what's going on in Philippi. Philippi wondered what's going on in Rome. Oh, is there any consolation? Oh, yes, there is in Christ. There sure is. You know, when he addresses the letter back in verse 1 to Christians or to brethren, saints in Christ Jesus. So these first four ifs are based upon our relationship to God. So it was Christ who reached out to us when we were needy. So we want to reach out to others. What he has done for us, that's what we want to exhibit in our life. You know, in Romans 15, verse 5, now may the God of patience and comfort. A God of patience, a God of comfort. Any consolation in Christ? He's a God of comfort. Grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. See what God has done for us? He says, that's what I want you to do for someone else. In 2 Thessalonians 2:16, some things you don't want to put off. Let's get busy doing this. Not to forsake what we're already doing, but be sure this is part of our ministry, our service. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us an everlasting consolation. He's given us. Comfort your hearts by what God has given us. Share that with others. And may establish you in every good word and work. Yeah. Any consolation in Christ? Oh, there is. Second, if any comfort of love. Well, of love, we'll take the last one first. Obviously, in reference to the love that Christ has for us. We're talking about divine love. So in each of these ifs, we're looking at God, how did you minister to us? That's the way I want to minister to others. If there's any of that, is there any divine love? Oh, yes, there is. John 15, verse 13, greater love is no man than this. The man laid down his life for his friends. Comfort seems to indicate a spoken word of encouragement. In 1 Thessalonians 5:14, we exhort you, brethren, comfort the faint-hearted. It's part of our ministry. Have we received comfort? Have we received consolation? Yes. If there's any of that in Christ, let's put it into practice. Uphold the weak. So I just put in here, the servant of Christ who is expressing the attitude of unity will be looking for people to encourage. Look, how can I help you? What do you need? Let me get that. Fellowship, number three, is any fellowship of the Spirit? The third, yes. We should experience unity because we're all in by the Spirit of God. We've all been born again by the same Heavenly Father. We're family. Acts 5, verse 31, God exalted Him, meaning Jesus, to His own right hand. We're witnesses of these things. You know, Peter and John said. And so also is the Holy Spirit who God has given to those who obey Him. So you know what you received at baptism? Multiple blessings. But Acts 2 verse 38 mentions specifically the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4 verse 1, so let's put it into practice. Is there any fellowship of the Spirit? Yes, there is. I beseech you, walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. In lowliness and gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. You want to know what fellowship of the Spirit looks like? And then endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Well, how many words can you use to describe, let's get along together. Now, the fourth one is any affection and mercy. And the two more dimensions of the compassion of Christ that should motivate us to do the same thing. Affections, we love one another from the heart. King James uses the word bowels, but I prefer heart. But I think in some way they thought the bowels were the seat of emotion, in that era, in one way. That was the core of the human being, were the bowels. You know, that inward man. 1 John 4, verse 11. Beloved, if God loved us, so again, take it from the top to us. If God loved us, we ought to love one another. So all these four ifs take us to look at the blessings we receive from above and now copy that. And mercy, Ephesians 4, verse 32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as. So there's the pattern, the example, as God in Christ has forgiven you. So there, Paul begins, continues this theme of striving together, again, standing fast. Next, number two is, now he says, because of this foundation, these four is, fulfill my joy. I just put by a few definitions or illustrations, fill up my cup. Make my best hopes for you come true. You do that? And if everyone had that, not just me, the one who stands up here, but if you were had that expectation of one another, you know, the one sitting beside you, would you fulfill my joy? And we're going to get to the how in the next section. Would you fill my joy? Meaning, would you make me truly happy? Would you make me complete? Satisfy? Think about parents with children. What do you expect from your children? You want obviously the best. But what would make you happy? Oh, if my children were this situation or that existed. You have an idea of what it would take in the lives of your children to make you happy. Same thing, and Paul is saying, now my brethren, my children in the faith, one another. You know what would make me happy? You know what would fulfill my joy? Oh, these things right here. You know, John said in 1 John 4, 3 John verse 4. Put that in your notes, yes. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Fulfill my joy. You know, Paul from prison is saying, what would make me happy is to hear that you're standing fast. That'd make me happy. If you just complete what is lacking. And back in chapter 1, verse 27, he said, I want to hear what's going on in the congregation there. And you know what make me happy? Fulfill my joy. The last one is, and he presents this list, half a dozen things of what fulfilling his joy would look like. A lot of them are just copying each other. And I sometimes wonder, how many times does something need to be said before we take it to heart? He's already spent a chapter in opening verses on this familiar theme of unity. You know, the answer to that question, you know, how many times do we need to hear something? Hebrews 10:24, let's consider one another in order to stir up one another to love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and how often do we need to hear something? And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Oh, there's just some things we just need to hear over and over again. And Paul, in this letter to the Philippians, is saying, unity, unity, unity. Next week's lesson is the mind of Christ. The next verses. So we need to maybe pray, you know, remind me, dear Lord, remind me. Remind me. I need to hear it again. Remind me. First one, number one, I'll go through these rather quickly. Being like-minded means think, literally in the Greek word, think the same thing. It's almost a dictionary study in this section of the text, and that's kind of what I did. I just got out Vine's Expository Dictionary and New Testament Words and looked up each one of these. And a few other sources. So, okay, being like-minded. Well, tell me exactly what does that mean? Of course, Vine's says it has to do with agreement in doctrine and creed. Embrace the same tenets of truth that they had been taught from the very beginning. Be like-minded. When I was there at the start, 10 years ago, when I was writing this letter, 10 years earlier, I was there and established a congregation there. I want you to be like-minded in accordance with the things that I taught you and established the church. Like-minded. No matter what a liberal or free-thinking theologian may say, there's really no spiritual unity without doctrinal oneness. Ephesians 4, verse 5 says, one faith. I can't misunderstand that. There's one. There are not many roads, as some liberal or other theologian may say. Oh, we're all heading to the same place. We're taking a different road. The Greek word for that, baloney. It just upsets me. I mean, I watch a lot of religious programming and things like that, and I'm just amazed at what different the religious people are teaching. It's interesting, the timing of certain lessons. I've had two people this past week call... Or they came by the house and say, from this congregation, and say, Brian, this is being taught where we're Churches of Christ, where we go. Do you have any material that you can share with me or give me two in the same week? Brethren, there's one faith, one. Boy, that may be my next series. I'm talking about all the seven ones in Ephesians chapter 4. So being like-minded concerning doctrine and creed, our faith. No, I said this, I go quick. Next one, having the same love. We don't all love the same things, but we need to have the same mutual love for each other. Mentioned that before, we could divide over blue cheese dressing. We all don't have the same love. But we need to have the same mutual love. We need to show that God's love is flowing through us. Same love. I didn't number yours. Next one, being of one accord, with united souls, agree, sing in harmony. Showing not a discord or a disharmony, that we are, definition, in concert, that we are in tune. It means in one accord. Of one mind is the next one. So giving your minds to one and the same, agreement, in unison. And then he's going to come out, I didn't put that in your notes, but in a couple more chapters, in chapter 4, verse 2, he's going to implore, and he calls them by name, calls two ladies by name. Euodia and I says, I implore, Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Wow, how would you like it if there were that situation existed today? Paul write us a letter and calls some of us by name and said, I implore you to be this. Oh, I mean, I'm not in sync. Oh. Of course, he encouraged the brethren to receive these two ladies. I'll get to that when we get to chapter 4. He didn't say throw them out. But we'll cover a little bit of that. In Romans 15, verse 5, again, these same words, be like-minded toward one another, according to Jesus Christ, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, the emphasis, especially in Philippians, but other places, those same words over and over, and that we may present ourselves correctly and give God the glory in one mouth. 1 Corinthians 1:10, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You speak the same thing, no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, same judgment. Why talk about the emphasis? The next one, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. A warning to each one against a competitive or pride-filled ambition. Well, I just put a warning. An example would probably be Diotrephes. In 3 John verse 9, Apostle John writes, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, one man who loved to have the preeminence among them, did not receive us. Oh, a Diotrephes. Verse 11, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. In 3 John verse 11. Last one, but in lowliness of mind, and that's be conscious of your dependence upon God. We just realize we can't do it all ourselves. So don't, and two things, the word let each is used twice in this last verse. let each, first one is esteem others better than himself. So don't fix your mind on those things wherein you excel. Again, other places, similar theme, Romans 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Esteem the other better than yourself. So no matter what our talent may be, or our status or position, whatever word you'd like to use, don't ever cast the other aside. Esteem the other. And he doesn't say only, just esteem those that are your equals. No, just esteem the other better than yourself. Galatians 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks himself to be something, he adds, when he's nothing. What are you? I'm nothing. I'm nothing. He deceives himself. He thinks himself to be something. Then the next let each of you look out not only for his own interests. It's okay to look out for your own interests. The verse is not saying that. It says, let each of you look out not only for your own interest. Yeah, I need to take care of family. I don't want to deny the faith. But also, so there's some things that go hand in hand. But also for the interest of others. So self-concern and concern for others are tied together in this verse. Self-interest, I think in a sense, it's entirely in harmony with the will of God. But not selfishness. The difference. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 24... let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. I don't want to seek my own, but I need to, don't forget you. Meaning, don't seek your own alone. Your own interests, don't isolate that interest. In Acts 20, verse 35, Paul said, I've shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, and how he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Yes, you can't forsake my own interest, but I don't want to forsake your interest either. What do you need? Word of encouragement? Have you fallen? Do you need somebody to pick you up? Don't forsake the other's interest too. Okay, next week, Lord willing, the mind of Christ. I've already looked ahead, and wow, there's a lot of debate and discussion and theology in the next five or six verses. Oh, I may go right to chapter. No, I won't. Wow, it's just interesting when you start. I remember a phrase Clarence used. No, it's a good one. It's a good one. I still remember it. You said it many, many, many months ago. You know, I read the newspaper, but I study the Bible. You'll remember that.
I didn't say that.
It was in your Wednesday night class. There's a difference between reading things.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And studying things.
Yeah, I said that.
I read the newspaper. I don't study it. But I study the Bible. And so that's kind of what, boy, these next verses, it takes some study. I'm going to give you the conclusions. I'm not going to give you all the debate. I'll give you my conclusions, because I don't want to mess you up. And think, there's something else to teach. I can hardly wait to hear what I have to say. All right, at the close of each lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. And we're still going to do that. I think anyone here, there's a prayer request, a concern that you want to share with us, and we'll kind of open that up at the close of the song. Just something that you need to say, or just doesn't have to be a guilt, but we can, or just safety, health, whatever it is. So we certainly want to be aware so we don't exclude you, and don't exclude us from an opportunity to help. That's the lesson. So that's why at the close of a lesson, you know, let's stand together and sing a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. We're pleading and praying. And once you've heard that good news gospel message and you believe it, you're willing to turn your life around to God's side. You're willing to confess your faith before witnesses that are gathered here. You can be baptized. Then rise to walk in newness of life. Now you're in the family of God. Forgiven of sins. Hope you have the hope of heaven within. Other blessings. That one action. And then we grow. So that's the invitation. If you're subject to it, if you haven't accomplished that, you want to ask brethren for strength or encouragement, just have a seat beside me, and at the end of the song, I'll just ask you.